now our next guest, born in Tassie. He moved to Victoria. He attended the Melbourne High School. He went to Kyabram Football Club and then he debuted with the Melbourne Football Club in 1986, and the rest is history. 226 games, 426 goals, 10 games for the mighty Big V. He was a three-time All-Australian, 93, 94, 95, captain of the Melbourne Football Club, 1991 to 1997. And there is more, but it would take the whole segment to keep on going to read out Gary Lyon's record, who joins us here on Sports Day. Gaz, welcome. How are you, mate? How are you feeling? You're out of quarantine at midnight tonight. Are you excited?
Good to be with you, boys. You're going to swing past and pick me up and take me somewhere?
well, if you'd like, Gaz. How are you feeling? Are you feeling okay? That's the important part.
I'm up and about and I'm good. And I can't believe that we're almost 24 hours away from what's going to be an unbelievable night at the mighty Optus Stadium. I can't wait to get there, lads. It's going to be magnificent.
What did you make, Gaz, of the changes? Joel Smith in, Michael Hibberd. Joel Smith out, Michael Hibberd in. Were you happy with that choice?
I don't think they lose, and that's not any disrespect to Joel Smith. I don't think they lose. He's probably got a touch more flexibility. He can play a bit taller and maybe on the small. He's a great athlete, but Hibbard's probably a little bit surer with ball in hand. So I don't reckon they lose too much there, hey?
Nathan Jones misses out again. Do you see any chance that he may find himself in there for the grand final?
He might be one or two back. You know, he needed a midfielder to get injured, not a halfback flanker. So they tell me he's been in ripping nick as well as much as you can be with, you know, no VFL or second-tier competition. Doing everything right, as he's done every day that he's been at the footy club. So it's one of the hard luck stories right now. Who knows? If they're good enough to get through Friday night, anything can happen. But the twist in the tale there, boys, I don't know whether you're aware, but his wife, Jerry, is due to have twins any day. So he has got this dual edge. He's trying to do everything he possibly can to break in. And at the same time, he's almost on call for twins. So if he's not going to get a look in, I think Melbourne would tell him if they were good enough to get through, of course. And then he'd have to make a decision on whether he stayed or went home.
Gaz, at the start of the season, did you think Melbourne could climb this high?
No, Carlos, I didn't. I don't think I had them in the eight. So I thought they were. I thought they were getting better, but you hear lots of things, and the noise coming out from a pre-season point of view was that they'd had a very, very serious sit out and look at themselves and, you know, parking ego and putting team first, which when you hear it, you think, oh, you know, most teams, you know, espouse that at that time of the year. But the more it went and the more you talk to people who were very close to it, they were really firm believers in the fact that the penny had dropped, that, you know, that they could get an All-Australian jersey or they could win a Brownlow or they could win an individual award, but it doesn't amount for much. And the great irony is that they've had this great success. They finished on top of the ladder at the home and away, and, you know, they've had five in the All-Australian team and individual success came their way. So it's been a good performance up to now.
27 years, the Fremantle Dockers have been waiting for a premiership. 57 for the Melbourne Demons. That's your lifetime. What does it mean, the build-up and obviously the euphoria and the heartache that's occurred across that period, all building up to this moment where I don't think the Demons will ever get a better chance to win glory?
No, you're right, Hayes, but I know I'm going to sound like I'm dancing on the parade. It is about tomorrow night before they can worry about what is beyond that. They played two grand finals during that period. I played in one of them in 88 against a Hawthorn side that was as good as any team I'd seen in the modern era, and we didn't get close. And then they played again in 2000 against an Essendon side that almost went through the season undefeated. They lost one game only for the year. So we ran into a couple of good ones. We'd come to Perth. Carlos's boys fixed us up in a prelim in 94. So we had some moments, but you're right. If they were to get through this year, and it's a big, big if, but if they were, I don't think they've been in as good a shape as they are now.
It's like the old and the young here. And look at the core of these midfield groups. And you look at the way that Duncan and Tui came back on the weekend. Tommy Hawkins was magnificent. They had some key tools down back in Blixavs and Henderson that are going to have to do the job. But the guys at Melbourne, and you talk about their spine, it's been very good. Brown's come in and done what they recruited him to do. And the improvement and the fitness of May and Lever has been super important.
Yeah, that whole back group and the way they defend collectively has held him in such good stead throughout the year, and it just, you know, became evident, you know, about round 6, 7, 8 that this is a really hard team to score against. And it just, it's got sort of tighter and tighter as the year's worn on, and their midfield has, the midfield has been at a consistent level. The Oliver and Petrarca story in terms of consistency has been, I think, undersold. They just keep buttering up. So the query is their front half, and Ben Brown's been good in the last, you know, month once he's got his opportunity. And Melbourne supporters, I'd love to see Tom McDonald just recapture a bit of his best form. And if he was able to do that, then I think, you know, I think they can beat Geelong tomorrow night. I really do. But that is the question mark, just their forward group.
How do you rate Fritz? Because his back-end season form has been exceptional, probably as good as any sort of medium-range forward in the game, to be honest, this year.
Yeah, he's sneaky good, I call it. He's just sneaky good. He can go for periods of the game, long periods without touching the footy, and then by game's end, he's got four. You know, he's one of those blokes who just finds a way, finds a bit of space, and then you underestimate him in the air and can take a big hanger. So, yeah, he'll be one they'll put a heap of work into. I'm wondering whether Jack Henry might go to him tomorrow night. Henry, I rate really highly, but, yeah, he's had a fantastic year. Unlucky perhaps not to be in the Australian group. He's kicked 50-odd goals, so really important part of what they're trying to do.
Hey, Gaz, I hope you don't mind me asking this one, but you've done a lot on the footy field and in media, but the greatest thing you ever did, in my opinion, was your speech on the Footy Show when you talked about your great mate Jim Steins and what he meant to you. What do you think he'd be thinking now, and for what he gave to your football club, if they could go all the way, and also with Neil Danaher as well? There's a big story around that, and it stayed with me forever when I listened to you do that speak. It was your finest moment, in my opinion. You got any thoughts?
Well, that's very kind of you to say, mate. And I get really emotional when I think about Jim. And I've been thinking about him a lot. That is the absolute honest truth. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, "Well, how can you put into words?" I said, "Well, put it this way: the time that Jim took over the Melbourne Footy Club in the presidency, he was fighting to save a footy club at the same time he's fighting to save his life." That's how much that man gave to the club. That's not to mention what he did on field, which I still think is the best footy story in the history of the game. So, he'll be looking down. He will be smiling, and he'll be enjoying it, because without him, they mightn't have been a club. It was a really parlous situation financially. Their backs were to the wall. No one wanted to be the president. He took it on. He rallied a lot of the old boys back involved that, you know, had perhaps drifted away a bit, and raised a truckload of money. And to this day, we will be forever grateful. So that's a great point, and he won't be forgotten, Hayes. And there's been some tragedy at this footy club. To the greatest players and names in its history, Robbie Flower, you know, sadly passed away. Jim, Sean White was a great player, passed away. Troy Broadbridge with the tragedy overseas. Dean Bailey, a recent coach. So there's been quite a bit of tragedy around this footy club, and they'll all be remembered if they were able to achieve something great this year.
Yeah, absolutely, Gaz. We've got to get to the news. Are you going to stay up till midnight, or are you going to go to get a couple of hours sleep before you get on and do your shift in the morning? What is it, mate? Is it outside or?
I've been getting up at 2:30, so I'm going all the way through. I'm heading off to bed now, and I'll just look forward to a walk tomorrow, boys. Hey, great to talk to you. Look forward to having a chat in the coming week.
Righto. Good on you, Gary Lyon there. And nice to have a yak to him. It's 5:27. We need to clear a commitment back soon. We'll tell you what's coming up after 7. In fact, you can be caller number, 23 right now. If you want to play Beat the Boys for Automasters, great service guarantee. Call 1300 Automaster. You're playing Paul Hazelby. I lost.
Did you?
I got rolled by a point. I tipped Brizzy. Our listener went the other way, so he had to. He was forced to. Back soon.